The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Beth Moore explains how God does not call us to find, He calls us to faith.
Has it just been a while since you've been out there on the fringes where you just had to really believe God for something, and if He did not come through, you weren't going to make it? Because that's where some life happens. That's where some life happens. That's where miracles happen.
Are you living a completely explainable life, or are you experiencing the supernatural presence of God? Next.
People are here, they're amazed that two people can still be married 50 years and like each other. And they just want to come see it up close and personal. And we're really glad all of you are here. We welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson, and this is Betty. And now we're into the 51st year. Are you going to stay with me?
I'm going to keep you another year anyway.
Well, I appreciate it. Give me an extension. It gives me 1 year extensions, and I really appreciate it. Let me tell you what's available. And I don't want you to miss this, because Beth Moore, you're going to hear in a minute, she's here in this. The Awaken Now conference tapes. Many people say, I know what Beth said. She said, I've never heard anything like this. I can't even believe this. So wonderful. And then people say, who are these people? We call them kind of the old guard who just kind of launched the spiritual awakening. And a lot of people had never met them and heard Peter Lord or Jack Taylor and Rick Godwin and Jim Hilton and Dudley Hall. And then you got Mike Huckabee and Ben Carson and so many others, Andy Andrews and Sammy Rodriguez, who closed with probably the most powerful message I've ever heard in my life. You've got Christine Kane and Beth Moore and Lisa Bevere and Ruth Graham and Betty Robinson and yours truly. And all of these incredible DVDs and CDs, you're going to want to get them. And I tell you something else you're going to want to do. You're going to want to give someone a drink of water. In Jesus' name. That's what Beth's going to do right now when she talks about the widow's oil. Would you welcome Beth Moore?
We open to Elisha's narrative, and I want to tell you a little something about Elisha. So, he was just out plowing in a field one day when Elijah, so to keep them separate, Elijah preceded Elisha. Elijah just passes by him. Elisha is just plowing in the field. I wonder who's just like plowing along in life. You never know when something's going to happen to you when you're just like plowing along in life. So Elisha's just plowing along. Elijah comes up to him and throws his mantle on the man's back. He's just going like, I'm plowing here. But unlike that darling little barista, he didn't say, I do not want your jacket. It's like, whoa, what has hit me? It's this wonderful passage at the very end of the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus tells his disciples, you stay right where you are until you are cloaked with power from on high. Now, it is my prayer that in the coming series that we're going to share together, that we're just going to get a fresh cloaking of power. Anybody want that? And I'm talking about the kind that is so Jesus that you don't take credit for it. Wouldn't it be something if we could have a humble enough spirit that Jesus could really entrust some supernatural power to us? What would it take? So I want you to look into the narrative with me. It's 2 Kings 4, verses 1 and 2. Now, we're going to get all the way to 7, but it will be a while. So start with me in verses 1 and 2, 2 Kings 4, 1 and 2. If you don't have a Bible, I'm going to read it to you anyway. Now, the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house? And she said, your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. I want you to sit tight right there, particularly in that very first verse of 2 Kings chapter 4, and I want you to see the storyline that begins right here. Now, I think that you might find this a little bit interesting. I'm a history nut, so is my husband. So we are just like constantly in some kind of book, constantly putting some pieces together. I love biblical history. He loves Texas history. And I mean, we are where it collides into one house. Well, here's what I found out. According to Jewish tradition, and when I say tradition, don't think automatically myth. Remember, there's the truth of the Word of God, but that doesn't mean that other texts have no truth in them. It means this is the Word of God. This is the Scriptures like nothing else. But we can look at many historical, it would be like an encyclopedia as opposed to the sacred text of the Scriptures. And so early Jewish tradition and the Jewish historian Josephus and the Targums, I'm going to throw this out to you so that you'll see that it's got some real meat attached to it. That's the Aramaic portions of the Old Testament, the Targums. They believe that this was Obadiah's wife. So through history, it was passed down that that was her identity. We don't know who it is. We just know that he was one of the servants of Elisha and one of the prophets and sons of the prophets. So we don't have a name. But Jewish tradition says that this is Obadiah's wife. Now, here's why. If it is, that is an interesting story to you and me because we can relate to this a whole lot better than we think we can at first. If it is Obadiah, there is this place in Scripture, if you want to jot this down so that you can study it later, by all means do, 1 Kings 18, 3 and 4. 1 Kings 18, 3 and 4. That's where we would learn that Obadiah was a man of God, a mighty man of God, and he was over King Ahab's household. King Ahab was king over the people of God in this kingdom at the time. Now, King Ahab, if you got any kind of biblical history, you might have heard of a woman by the name of Jezebel. And when a woman is called a Jezebel, they do not mean that as a compliment, and she is the original Jezebel. And so here was Obadiah. He was he watched over, he managed this house. Well, she goes absolutely nuts, and she tries to destroy all the prophets of God in Israel. And so Obadiah, now this part we know for an absolute fact. This Obadiah takes 100 of the prophets into a cave. He hides them in caves, and then he feeds them. The Scripture says, you check it for yourself, 1 Kings 18, 3 and 4. He fed them bread and water. Now, so what I'm telling you is that tradition has passed down from that time to the present that this is Obadiah's wife. It would help explain why she's in so much debt, because he would have used so much of what they had to feed all of these prophets bread and water. So, and it would also explain why she could march herself up to Elisha and go, you got to help me here. Your servant has died and they are coming for my children. So the fact that she, you know, there's some kind of tie because she is holding him in many ways responsible. You've got to help me. He helped you. You help me. And I want you to see something. What if it's so? What if it is true that that was her husband? Can you imagine? Because that would have been a man powerfully used by God. I mean, that's a true hero. When you think about it, if he was used to spare 100 prophets' lives. So imagine that our country is like folding on top of itself and someone takes different pastors of God in a time of terrible persecution and hides them away. I mean, we would call that person a hero. Well, that if that's her husband, he was a true hero. Before there was Schindler's List, there was Obadiah's list. Now that we know for sure. What we don't know for sure is this that man's wife? If it is, it makes the story even more interesting because I'm going to give you point number one out of 3 points we're going to do in this series together. Number one is this: personal desperation can jar us out of secondhand stories because personal desperation can jar us, that's going to be a key word to us in this series, out of secondhand stories. Anybody got that down? Because I'm going to want you to say it right back to me. What were those first two words?
Personal desperation.
Personal desperation can jar us out of what?
Secondhand stories.
Because if that's who her husband was, he'd been the big one. And I just wonder, when you associate the power of God with the day in which we live, if you believe, even if you've got limited knowledge of the Scriptures, even if you don't know yet what to do with Jesus Christ, do you believe that there is a God present and active in this world system somehow? And if you do, I want to ask you a question today. Do you associate Him with someone else, or is it you? Because what can often happen is that we know God is powerful because look what He's doing. And we find ourselves, our salvation may have been intimate, but from that point on, we'll so often find ourselves operating out of a secondhand relationship. It's about our pastor, and may he be a mighty man of God. Maybe about your Bible teacher. May he or she be mighty men and women of God. But it's always somebody else. No, I'm asking you about you. Because what happens is this. When that person is out of the picture or somehow steps aside, all of a sudden crisis happens to you and it becomes not what they're going to do in their struggle. What are you going to do with what you're going through? Big question I've come to ask you. What are you going to do with what you are going through? Because listen, I know you're jarred with something. Because I'm 55. I'm old enough to know. I've lived enough life to know that there are very few of you tuning in today that have not got something in your present life that is jarring you. And what can happen is that when we get in a situation where it's very personal, anybody just like going through something very, very personal. There's corporate things. We go through corporate crises at work. I'm not asking you about those things. I'm asking you about your own life, your own heart, your own brokenness, whether you yourself feel rejected or betrayed or turned on. I'm talking about your own personal desperation. And it can jar you right out of a secondhand story. And suddenly, you're in that movie for yourself. And it is you, and it is Jesus. The prophet Isaiah puts it like this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. He'd seen Him through that king, operating in that king and around that king. All of those years, suddenly, he was out of the way. God bless him. And Isaiah was like, He is high and lifted up. Now, here's the thing. You and I are going to be talking some about personal desperation. But what if you're in the situation that we're about to address here for a few minutes where you're just going, that's really not me. I mean, I've always got problems, but I can't say that I'm just desperate right now. In fact, I would tell you, if you asked me how I was, I would tell you, well, I'm fine. I'm not great, but I'm not awful. I'm just fine. Anybody, they're thinking, okay, I've been in desperation. I know what that's like. In my present, like today, now I have not been home yet today, but today I have problems, some very, very specific problems, some of which I'm going to tell you about later in this series, but I would not say that I've just been in a crisis of desperation like I have been very recently. So, okay, I'd fall a little more into that category of fine, but here's what I want to throw out to you. Number one was personal desperation can do what? It can jar us out of what? It can jar us out of secondhand stories. And number two is this, God didn't call us to fine. He called us to faith. He didn't just call us to fine, F-I-N-E. He called us to faith. What I pray is going to happen to us in this series is nothing less, listen to this carefully, than a revival of faith. I just want to talk about some like an old-fashioned revival in a very new world. I'm wondering, has it just been a while since you've been out there on the fringes where you just had to really believe God for something, and if He did not come through, you weren't going to make it? Because that's where some life happens.
That's where some life happens. That's where miracles happen. So it's been on my mind because some months ago, in the spring of this last year, my pastor, who is also my beloved son-in-law, taught out of this text. Now, you're going to be relieved to know I'm not just bringing you a carbon copy of his message. It's been a couple of months, a little more than that now, that I've poured back over it. But it came to mean something to me, and I'm praying the same thing is going to happen to you. What will you do with it? But here's the question he asked us, and it just pierced my heart. He said to our whole congregation, he said this, he said, "Do you want to experience the supernatural provision of God, or do you just want to live a completely explainable life?" I want to say that to you again because I want you to answer it for yourself. Do you? I mean, there's fine. I mean, some of us would just go, "I know I'll go with fine." Okay? So, like, you got one turn here on planet Earth. So you just want to, like, just be fine, just be fine. Or do you want to live an extraordinary life? Do you want to live on the miraculous provision of God, the supernatural? Do you want to see the miraculous in your life? Or do you just want to live a life that when it comes to the end of it is very easy to explain? And I was just like, you know, I'm a student at heart, so I'm taking notes down so hard it's nearly ripping through the page. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And I write down in my notes, I want to experience, and I mean, I'm just, I want to experience the supernatural provision of God. I mean, we're here one time. Are you kidding me? We're just going to just let mediocrity just like, we're just pass our time one day after another, just be like everybody else. When we've got the living spirit of the Son of God in us, if we've received Christ, are you kidding me? No, I get bored too easily. I'm not interested in that. I want to live. I want to experience the miraculous. I want to see it. I want to know it.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Boy, Beth, you are so special because he's so special in you the way he wants to be in all of us. And I'm agreeing with you, Beth. We can't settle for the sub-normal, natural, when the supernatural is what God intends. I want to show you something. I want to show you a man, a grandfather. We showed him to you a year ago with a broken heart because he had lost a child and grandchildren. I mean, he was weeping. I want to show you a man now because of you that's weeping tears of joy. You are going to like this.
Last year, the Life Outreach Mission Team met Vaughn and his grandchildren in their remote village in Cambodia. And Vaughn showed the team where his family gathered their drinking water. While introducing his grandchildren, Vaughn broke into tears and shared how his daughter and precious grandson had died because of that contaminated water. And now, a year later, Life's mission team returned to Vaughn's village and found that his tears have turned into tears of joy. Mission Water for Life was able to successfully drill and install a new water well, literally in Vaughn's backyard. Vaughn, his grandchildren, and the other villagers now have safe drinking water, and their lives have been transformed. I know, Vaughn, you have some water. I know you don't have a TV, but I wish you could hear me tell you how happy I am for you. I love your smile. I love those old teeth.
I love the fact that you've got children and grandchildren that have clean water. Doesn't that touch you, Betty?
It really does. And this is the part I love, is when we get to show what your love and your giving has done for a people that, without your help, many of them will die, the children especially. So this is what I really take great joy in. And I know you do. If you've helped before, it's a blessing to you to watch what we just showed you. So please continue. We still have more water wells to drill to help children just like these. We want to go from the tears and the sadness to the joy and the smiles on these precious children's faces.
You know, I met with our leadership team today before taping here, and our mission overseer said, we got all the workers in place. We could drill twice as many wells. We just need the resources. And then, Betty, they told me today, too, they said we could start feeding another 200,000 children next week. They found them. We'll have enough to do it. It really hurt me. I'm glad that we've drilled 4,000 water wells. I'm thankful we're going to, with your help, drill 500 more. But I think sometimes I wonder, what if everybody decided, I'm going to drill a well this year for people like that? They're $4,800. I keep asking. I asked today, are they still going to be that? They said, yes, we've made adjustments and people sacrifice that work with us. And they're keeping it there so far, and the depth we're drilling in these areas, we can keep it there. I wish we could say, well, go as deep as you got to go. Well, but it costs three times as much. Yeah, but they need it. And the only thing that enables us to say that anywhere we're going to give you a well is you. Betty and I are always going to give wells. And from the time we started giving them, it was like God said, you love to bless, I love to bless, and I bless so you can bless. And the blessing flow goes, so you just keep the river flowing. So how about joining the flow of releasing the love and life of God by drilling a water well? Or say, well, I can't. I wish I could, James. $48 gives 10 people. 10 people water the rest of their life. A gift of 144 gives 30 people water the rest of their life. 4,800, basically a village, let's say, averages about 1,000, most of those small areas. Would you do it? We have some gifts for you. We want to send you the Awaken Now Conference speakers on CD, DVD, and in transcript form. It'll be a blessing. We've got a beautiful art piece. It is absolutely one of the most beautiful pieces I've ever seen. The blessing. I see a child giving a blessing and reaching out for the blessing. It has really a double impact. We want to send it to those of you who will make a gift of $1,200 or more to help drill a well. But for any gift, we'll send you the CDs of the conference. I know it'll be a blessing and inspirational, but like spiritual refreshing to you. The DVDs that you'll want to watch and share, and maybe even use in your churches with these great speakers and teachers. We want to bless you and say thank you for blessing others. Would you go to the phone and take your bank card and make the best gift you can, or go online, lifetoday.org. Do what God's put on your heart, and let's give wells. Let's work a miracle for another grandfather and for parents and children like you saw there. Thank you for being a part of it. Please move now to do what God's put in your heart. And we say thank you on behalf of those you're going to help.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request the Awaken Now audio series, a once-in-a-lifetime gathering of 23 anointed speakers proclaiming a powerful message for every believer in God's kingdom. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Awaken Now on both audio and video, along with the companion book containing the speaker's sermons and encouraging messages. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request our new commemorative sculptured glass statue, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Isn't she absolutely wonderful? I'm surrounded by children just as precious as she is, children that deserve, just like every other child on the planet, to have a cup of clean water. Do you realize that of 85% of the children's deaths under 5 years of age, 85% of those are from waterborne diseases? It is an absolutely critical need, and in many, many cases, a matter of life and death. Would you consider being part of this with us, part of Mission Water for Life, offering a cup of clean water to children exactly like this precious one? Please do what you can. Go to the phone and join us in this partnership to give a gift of life through a cup of water.
You know, I pray that we're going to see a miracle of love so great that no one will opt out of the opportunity of stepping up and giving a cup or a well of water. I really pray that many of you will get this beautiful glass art piece. And when you put it in various places and it reflects the light, you see the blessing of a child. I think reaching out, not just to get water, but maybe to give or to receive. A beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece. And we're giving it to those of you who will make a gift to help us drill a well of $1,200 or more. I hope you'll do that. And then remember, we're going to be sending the DVDs, the CDs, the book with transcripts of many of those messages from people that are as anointed to speak to us today as any people in the world. So get these tapes. Thank you so much for helping us share life all over the world by giving fresh water in the name of Jesus. Thank all of you for being here.
Tomorrow on Life Today, James and Betty celebrate 50 years of ministry and marriage at the Awaken Now Conference with guest speaker Mike Huckabee. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.